Hello, and we are glad to have this time with you, and we're glad you're tuning in. My name is Richard Massey, and I preach for the Windmill Church of Christ, located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas. And we would like to invite you to come and be with us when you're in our area. But in particular, on June the 17th and 18th, we're going to have a lectureship. It's on Saturday and Sunday. We'd like to invite you to come. We're going to have four speakers. Three of them are going to be on Saturday. And then one of them, Payden Reed, will be speaking on Sunday on, and this subject of this series of lessons is on evidences. We're going to have three speakers speaking on evidences, evidences of faith, evidences of creation, evidences that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. And we'd like for you to come and be with us June 18th, 17th, and 18th on a Saturday and a Sunday. We pray that you can come and be with us. Thank you for tuning in. And today, we're going to talk about problems in the church. Problems in the church. And we want you to turn to 1 Corinthians for this study about problems in the church. Many of the epistles are the letters written by inspired men in the first century were written to help people to take care of problems in the church. We have the book of Galatians, and they had a problem with Judaizing teachers. People were teaching them to be circumcised in order to go to heaven. In the book of Hebrews, we have a letter written to people who were also trying to go back to the Old Testament instead of trusting and believing in the New Testament. We have the book of Philemon, which was written to solve a problem between two people, a master and his runaway slave. We have the book of 1 John, which was written to address the problem of Gnosticism. And today we're going to be looking at the book of 1 Corinthians, which is written to solve some problems. Churches have problems. They have doctrinal problems, and they have issues with getting along with one another. We are people. God's plan is perfect, but we, the people, are not perfect. And so we have to work on things. We have to solve problems. And that's what Paul wrote the book of 1 Corinthians to do, was to solve church problems. First problem was the problem of division. And we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 1, beginning in verse number 10. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you." See the problem of division? God doesn't want his people to be divided. "Therefore, there is to be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And so then he says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 11, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." And then he lists what those contentions were about. The contentions were about their teachers. He says, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." So they were following different teachers. And of course, to follow Christ is the right teacher. But then he asks some rhetorical questions in verse 13. Is Christ divided? There's only one answer to that. And that is no, he's not divided. Was Paul crucified for you? There's only one answer for that. No, he wasn't crucified for us. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Don't follow a man, in other words, because men didn't die for you. You weren't baptized in the name of a man. And so that's how you solve that problem. You solve the problem by saying, look, we're going to follow Christ. We're going to follow his word. But also in chapter 1, there was the issue with the purpose of preaching. The gospel has to be preached. Notice in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It's not the gospel of John or the gospel of Paul. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God. And so that's why preachers must preach the gospel and nothing else and nothing more. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says in verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That helps the problem of division. You preach Christ. You don't preach Paul. You don't preach Peter. You preach Christ. And then also notice in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So two problems were addressed in these first two chapters. One of them, the problem of division. The second was a problem of the preaching of the gospel. And now let's go to chapter 3. Here is yet another problem. And so you solve these problems with the Word of God. You don't divide over men. You be united through Christ and through the preaching of Christ. That's the matter. That's the item that brings unity. But notice in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1, they also had the problem of immaturity. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. That means worldly. That means fleshly. Even as unto babes in Christ. You're not developing into mature Christians. You're still babes in Christ. You're immature. That was a problem. They had the problem of division over teachers. They had the problem over the preaching of the gospel. Now they have the problem of immaturity. He says in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Couldn't give you some of the deeper things of God's word because you weren't mature. You didn't know the first principles. Neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal, you're worldly. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Now he said they were not mature, and here is the signs of immaturity. They were envying, there was strife, there was division. That's the way the world handles problems. Are you not carnal and walk as men? And so they needed to grow up. They needed to stop having divisions and to realize the purpose of the preaching of the gospel and mature as Christians. And realize this, that people are nothing but servants of God. Notice verse number 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And so stop dividing over people. People are just servants of Christ. Be united in God's word. And that's what they needed to hear. They were very immature. Now in chapter 5, he had to deal with the problem of fornication. First of all, he dealt with the problem of division. Second of all, the reason for the preaching of the gospel. Thirdly, they weren't mature. This letter was written to address these problems. But they also had a problem of sexual immorality. They had the problem of fornication, and that's what it's called in the Bible. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. He was living with his stepmother. He had the woman that his father was married to, and they were active parts of the church, and they should have been dealt with, but the church didn't deal with them. And he says in verse 2, and you are puffed up, you're arrogant about it, and have not rather mourned. You should be sad, not happy, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. You're not to allow an case of open fornication to exist in the Lord's church. We're not to have division in the Lord's church. We are to preach the gospel of Christ in the Lord's church. We are to have maturity in the Lord's church. And we must not have open sexual immorality or even secret sexual immorality. And so they were to take care of that problem. That's why this epistle was written. And the rest of chapter 5 is how they were to take care of that. So the church of our Lord can have all kinds of very, very serious problems. But in the next chapter, we have a different kind of problem. We have one brother going to law or going to the courts with another brother. Notice in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 1, dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more thing that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a man among you, no, not one, that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. And so they had that serious problem. They were suing one another in the courts of the community in which they lived, and that was wrong. The church is to settle its own problems. That's what he's saying. We are not to have division. We are to preach the gospel. We are to understand that we are servants. We are ministers of Christ. And we should not divide over teachers. And then in chapter 5, there was the matter of fornication. And now in chapter 6, there is the matter of going to law one with another. And so this letter was written to solve these problems. But in chapter 7, we have a question about marriage. And we read in verse 1, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Every man, singular. Have his own wife, singular. And let every woman, singular, have her own husband, singular. So that's God's plan, one man for one woman, and that is to avoid fornication. Verse 3 says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. And so this was written to solve the questions and the issues about marriage. And to avoid fornication, we are to have our own spouse. That's what the Bible says. We must listen to the Word of God. And then there's the matter of believers being married to unbelievers. Notice verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 7. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. And so we realize that marriage is for our lifetime. It's till death do us part. Romans 7, 2 and 3, a woman that hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. And so the Bible teaches us the permanency of marriage. So there's the issue of marriage. There's the issue of fornication. There's the issue of going to law one with another. And so the purpose of this epistle was written to address the problems and to solve them. Let's let this epistle solve our problems today. Let's realize to avoid fornication, you get married. One man for one woman for one man. And it's so supposed to be that way from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 2, Adam and Eve were joined as one man and one woman in a husband and wife relationship. Let's respect God. Let's follow His will. That's when we're going to have joy and happiness. But now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And here's the matter of the things offered to idols. Verse 1, now touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity or love edifieth. Sometimes we think we know more than the next fella. We become arrogant and proud and haughty. But if we love our brother, we won't be proud. We won't be arrogant. We will be caring and kind. And then it says in 1 Corinthians 8 in verse number 2, and if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, and certainly there was in that Greek culture, they had many gods, but unto us is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. And so we know that there is one God. Let's not have division over this matter of things offered to idols. But then in chapter 9, we have the matter of support of the preachers, the support of the preachers. Preachers are to be supported by the Lord's church. Notice in 1 Corinthians 9, beginning of verse number 9, it says, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Well, of course, oxen got to eat of the corn that they, of the grain that they ground up as they were in the threshing floor. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? Did he say it just for the ox's sake, or did he say it for human sake? Well, he says in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 10, "For our sakes, no doubt that it is written, he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of this hope." If you're treading out the corn, you get to eat the corn. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap of you your carnal things? Paul says, we brought the gospel to you. We've caused you to know the way of salvation. And since we've shared these spiritual things, don't you think it's right for you to share your worldly things? If others be partaker of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power. Paul said, we didn't demand this of you, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel. We didn't require it of you because we didn't want to hinder the gospel. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So the church should be supporting the gospel preachers. Just as if you have a field to plow and somebody goes out there and plows it, he gets to eat of the things that are planted. And so we need to support the evangelist. But then let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we learn also of another problem, and that is the problem of murmuring. And it says, and he talks about the children of Israel in the Old Testament, how they murmured. He says in verse number 9, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore to him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." And so the things of the Old Testament are that which we can learn. They were destroyed when they murmured in the Old Testament. We need to learn that great lesson. If we murmured, we're not going to be pleasing to God either. And so in chapter 10, we have the lessons taught about how to behave correctly before God. That was a problem and an issue there in the congregation of the Corinthians. But in chapter 11, there's the problem of the Lord's Supper. They weren't eating it properly. They were eating it in a way that was not helping anyone. Notice in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 17. "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." They were eating it unworthily. They were evidently mixing it with their own supper. And some were not fed, and some were hungry, and some were full. And he found fault with them on that. They had a problem there. So we learn from our study today that epistles are written to straighten out problems. The epistle to the Corinthians straightened out many problems. We didn't get to talk about all of them. There were the problems of the spiritual gifts in chapters 12 through 14. There is the problem of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. And so we didn't get to talk about all the problems that are addressed in this epistle, but we need to understand that many of the epistles were written to address problems that were hindering the Lord's church. And I hope you'll remember that as you study and read the book of 1 Corinthians. It was to help those brethren to have unity, to grow in maturity, to take care of the sin problem that crept in among them. Thank you for tuning in today. And this has been Richard Massey preaching, who preaches at the Windmill Church of Christ, 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas. Please come to see us if you're in that area. Goodbye for now.